Praise the Lord, what the Lord has done in our heart and in our life. Amen? He saved us. Saved us by his blood. And his blood cleanses us and washes us from every sin. Amen? We are forgiven and we are set free. We are delivered. And we have this access into the very presence of God because of what Christ has done. We were once bound up in slavery, friends. Slavery to self, slavery to the world, slavery to the enemy of our soul, the devil, the power of the air, the prince of darkness ruled us. Because instinctively, through our sinful nature, we were bound to him. We were chained to him. Jesus Christ came to defeat the works of the enemy. Amen? Defeat the works of Satan and bring life and vitality and grace and wonder and amazement to us by inviting us in to take a peek at who God is. And that's what we do every Sunday morning, friends. We worship him, amen? And the Bible says that the presence of the Lord is gathered here because where two or three are gathered in Christ's name, he is in the midst. The Bible says that when we praise him and exalt him and lift him up and turn our focus and attention to Christ, the Holy Spirit inhabits the praises of his people. He's enthroned on the praises of his people. Amen? That's why when we're faced with stuff, the stuff of the world, we give him thanks and we praise him and we exalt him. And the things of this world become dim when we keep our eyes on Christ and we praise him and we exalt him and we lift him up and we give him all the praise that's due his name. Amen? Aren't you glad that you're saved today? Aren't you glad that you're redeemed today? That you're taken out of darkness into the kingdom of his light. And now the light of God's truth through the power of the Holy Spirit, as we read it, gives us this faith in which we stand. We're talking about faith today. What in the world, what in blue blazes is faith in Jesus Christ? The New City Catechism says this: faith in Jesus Christ is acknowledging the truth of everything that God has revealed, trusting him from his word, and receiving and resting on him alone for salvation as he is offered to us in the gospel. Now, when you take a look, friends, faith is a big part of our life, isn't it? When you really think of it, we trust a lot of people. We trust a lot of machines. We trust a lot of organizations and institutions. We generally put a lot of trust and faith out there in our natural life, isn't it? How many of you have gotten food through takeout and had a food delivery guy deliver your food to you, maybe through Uber or the Grab, the Hub thing or stuff like that? You've had a food delivery guy deliver your food to you? Anybody done that? Okay. I don't want to bring distrust and a lack of faith to you. A new survey has said that 30% of food delivery drivers taste the food that they are delivering. Okay? So I want to throw that out to you. Okay? That means they go into your container, put their grimy, who knows what kind of fingers in your food, whether it be French fries or anything else, and they taste it. 30%. That's 3 out of 10. I don't want to take those risks, man. I'm going to go and I'm going to pick up my food now every time. There's a lot of things that we put our trust in. How many of you have an old car? Do you know that the average age for a car is 11 years old? Doesn't that shock you? I thought it would be newer, but the average age in America for the car is 11 years old. How many have a 10-year-old car or more? Amen. How many wish they didn't have a 10-year-old car or more? Every time that you get in that car, you exhibit an awesome and unbelievably amount of faith and trust that all the mechanisms of that car would operate to such an extent that it will get you from point A to point B without any kind of situation. How many of you have been on the road where you broke down, where you had a flat tire or something went wrong in the car? We all know about that. But friends, we those of you that use buses, you hop on this bus, you don't know the driver, right? He might have a psychotic episode and run into the courthouse downtown in Buffalo. You don't know what's going on, right? How many of you have given your kids to daycare? You just have this natural sense and faith and trust that the daycare people take care of your kids. When we send our kids off to school, we have this natural faith and trust that the people at school will have the best interests of our children in mind, love them, take care of them, teach them, and protect them. We use this faith and trust and reliance on so many things in our natural life. But do you know that natural faith will not give you salvation? You can muster up all the positiveness that you have and muster up all the feelings in your heart towards God. But if you do not have the faith of Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life, you are not saved, you are not in Christ, and you don't know Christ. Why is this? Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. No yawning. Who's yawning over here? This is incredible. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. All right, let's get it out, right? Everybody yawn. There's another yawn over here. Hey, did you ever notice yawning is contagious? There's one over here. Who's next? Who's next? Come on. Anybody? Cassie was holding it in. All right, let's all do it on the count of three. Let's yawn. Ready? One, two, three. Oh, boy. All right, we got enough oxygen. We're good. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 12 to 14. I'm reading in the ESV. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. What does that tell you? You cannot understand the things of God without the spirit of God. Cannot understand God's ways, his will, his character, his nature, without the spirit of God in your heart and in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus came. Scripture tells us that there would be an occasion where God would put his spirit in you, give you a heart, and give you a mind after God, that you would know God, that you would know that God is your possession, and that you are possessed and cherished by God. And that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3 talks about us being born of water, but yet born of the Spirit. The things of God come alive to us because of the Spirit of God that we invite into our heart when we repent of our sins, turn from our sins, and yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, the kingdom of God is opened up to us, and we realize the amazing, unbelievable, unbreakable, never-ending, undying love and grace of God for you, for me. We stand alone in this grace of God, understanding that Christ died for all of my many, many sins, and he died that he would circumcise or cut out my very sinful nature, that I would live for the glory and the praise and the adoration of God. What a great Savior, amen? He causes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. At some points in my life, as I'm following Christ, I realize I'm not doing this on my own. I have the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit that's pushing me along. Many times I don't want to follow. I don't want to serve. I don't want to love. I don't want to forgive. I don't want to give. It's my money. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes along and says, I got you, man. I got you. And Christ ministers his love and grace. And then you realize that the only thing that I can do is give my all to Christ because he loves me so much. His grace has encouraged me so much. See, when we have this salvation, this faith in Christ, we keep our eyes on our own selves. We don't judge others, do we? We encourage others to live under the glory and the power and the holiness and the righteousness of God. We don't accuse, we don't slander, we don't expect vengeance and judgment on people. That's left up to God. Amen? What we do is we look at ourselves and we say, I need God, I need faith, I need trust, I need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit every moment of every day, because that's where my salvation rests, in the grace given to me through faith. The Spirit of God has to stir you. When you accept Jesus Christ, something snaps in your heart and life. All of a sudden, you're born again to the things of God. Your desires are gone for the old way. Your desires are gone for the sinful nature. All of a sudden, you're doing stuff that you did all the time before, and you enjoyed it. But all of a sudden, there's this conscience that comes alive like bells. And the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, that's not cool. That's going to strip the joy of your salvation. That's going to strip the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's going to hurt your reputation and your testimony for me as you live your life for me. The greatest thing that we don't want to do as believers in Christ who have experienced his grace, we never, ever want to hurt the heart of God. Amen? Can you turn that green monster off? You know, Paul had a different thorn in the flesh. You know what I mean? Paul had a different thorn in the flesh. That thing is my thorn in the flesh right there. Okay. There were several people that came to Christ. I'm thinking of the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years. She's working her way through the crowd, probably pushing people out of the way because she knew if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. Wow, what faith, amen? Jesus said, whoa, power has left me. Your faith has made you whole. According to your faith, be it unto you. According to how you trust me and how you rely on me, to that same degree, I'll reveal myself and my power and my glory and everything that I am to you. So what do you want? If you want Christ, you put your faith in him and you'll walk in the goodness and the grace of the Lord Jesus. We walk by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. What happens is, because we live in this natural realm, we view God sometimes through the perceptions and perspectives of our natural self. Amen? God has a whole new scope, spiritual telescope that he desires to give to us through the power of his word and the Holy Spirit, to reveal who God is. And when you know who God is, you don't want anything that the world has to offer you at all. The cross before me, the world behind me. Though none go with me, still I will follow, because you've tasted of God. You've tasted of his grace. You've tasted of the love of God. And you don't want anything to interrupt your faith and love and hope in Christ. Faith in God can move a mighty mountain. Faith in God can calm the troubled sea. Faith in God can make a desert a fountain. Faith in God can bring the victory. Amen? Exodus chapter 14 brings out this story of the Israelites. They've just seen God move mightily on their behalf, doing exploits through them, through bringing all the plagues upon Egypt. Each plague destroyed and disarmed the power of a god that the Egyptians worshipped. Israelites saw that, and they were let free. Then all of a sudden, they came to the Red Sea. And then all of a sudden, they're like, what? There's no graves in Egypt that you have to bring us out here that we may die? Moses must have been like, whoa. The Lord said to him, basically, stop praying and act. And Moses lifted his stick, and the waters separated. And the Israelites saw another aspect of the glory of God, the provision of God, the protection of God, the blessing of God. And they had to walk down. At some points, the Red Sea is about 1,600 feet deep. They had to walk down into this towering on both sides water. 1,600 feet down they walked, believing and trusting in God that God would see them through. Isn't that the way faith goes? See, faith isn't an event. It's not a situation. It's not a circumstance. It's a moment-by-moment journey in which we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to move us and to encourage us and to strengthen us. But sometimes we have to take the walk. There's a lot of folks in churches that just celebrate the parting of the Red Sea. And they're on the shore and they're praising God and they're getting enthralled in his presence. But they never walk out in faith. They never take the step of faith. God wants to get you to the promised land, but you have to walk in faith. You have to walk in faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is a beautiful illustration of what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Assurance, conviction, substance, expectation, hope, evidence, conviction. Amen? When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have a written thesis of all your questions that are answered. You will never, ever get that. Sometimes you'll go through life with questions that will betwiddle you and mess you up for your whole life. And all you get is the assurance of God's presence with you, that he's with you, that he understands you, that he knows you, that he sees you. Hebrews chapter 1 through Hebrews chapter 10 is God saying to the Israelites, to the Hebrews, there's a better way. There's a better way. You got to come all the way to Christ. Amen. You've got to come from the angels, worship of angels, all the way to Christ. You got to come from the sacrificial system all the way to Christ. You got to come from your good works and your performance all the way to Christ. You got to let the ritual and the religiosity and all that stuff go and come all the way to Christ and Christ alone for salvation. When this was written and in the time of Jesus Christ, Judaism was a religious cult of moralism and self-righteousness. The Pharisees and the religious leaders did not enter into faith, nor did they allow anybody to enter into faith. They were blind guides. They were whitened sepulchers. It was a cult. And Jesus, we see in the Gospels, spent his entire 3 years dismantling this religious cult of moralism and self-righteousness and hypocrisy, and bringing to the Hebrew people this wonderful, wonderful aspect that the Old Testament is abolished. Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament, bring in the New Testament, the New Covenant. Now, once and for all, Jesus entered into the heavenly realms with his sacrifice, his blood on the altar. For all time, our sin is forgiven. For all time, we have access into the very presence of God. For all time, we belong to God. We're his children now. And he loves us. And we walk in that. Amen? We walk in that. But then you got these little voices out there and little opinions and speculations of the world that whisper into our ear. And the Bible says that we drift away. Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 6, and in verse 10, there's this admonition, don't drift, don't fade, don't turn away from your faith, amen? Don't turn to other things. Turn to Christ and Christ alone for your salvation, for your freedom, for everything that you need is based on Christ and Christ alone. It's not your ability, it's not your talent, it's not your education. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you're going into. It doesn't matter the hurt and the pain in your heart and your life. Jesus Christ can set you free and give you a new life and a new way of living. Amen? Through the power of the Spirit of God. But it takes faith and it takes walking. It takes venturing out in faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham was not weakened in his faith when he contemplated his body, because he was old. He was older than Edith. And Edith is really old, okay? Because she just had her birthday on the 31st, 16 years old, which translates in the natural into 84 years old. Isn't that awesome? 84 years old. But see, Abraham did not become weak in faith when he contemplated his body, when he contemplated his situation, when he contemplated his past, when he contemplated his future. He did not become weak. See, what we do is we get our eyes on the natural, amen? We get our eyes looking through our senses and our sensibilities, and we lose track of how we should walk in faith with God. The Bible says that he did not waver when it comes to the promises of God. But yet we know that he did. We do become weak, amen? We do waver. But there's this awesome thing called this wonderful confidence and boldness to come into the very presence of God to receive mercy and find grace for our every need. Isn't that something? So you might feel weak today in your faith. You might feel like you're wavering. You got to get your eyes off your situation. Get your eyes off the natural. Get your eyes off the kingdoms of this world and put your eyes on the King and the kingdom of God. Amen? You're not of this world. We're from another kingdom. Our citizenship is in heaven. When one day we will be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But until that day, he has left a deposit in our heart, which is the Holy Spirit that moves us and woos us and loves on us, encourages us and strengthens us to walk in faith. Walk in the scripture always speaks about our conversation, speaks about our conduct. It speaks about our attitudes and our emotions and the things that attracts us, the intentions of our heart, the devices of our heart. How are we walking? We walk by faith and faith alone. Here's the thing. Lots of times when you're concerned about faith, we think of giant, wonderful men of God and women of God that have faith. And we're like, they have so much faith. I'm a loser, right? No, you're not. Romans chapter 10 says, the word of God is in you. We confess with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart. We speak that out, and we are saved. We are redeemed. We have the power of the Holy Ghost come upon us to win the victory for us. This wonderful, wonderful aspect of the grace of God. We walk by faith, not by sight. We don't have faith in feelings. For some of us, if we had to live our life by feelings, we would be dead right now. Many, many dwell with depression. Many believers in Christ dwell with mental situations and mental problems, anxiety and stress and fear. It's not based on our feelings or our emotions. It's based on the promises of God. You know why? Because every promise in his word is true. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what did he say? We don't live our lives in a natural sense. We don't live our lives by bread alone. We don't live our lives by just this kingdom of the world mentality where we keep our eyes on a horizontal level. We live according to every word that the Lord God speaks. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. Amen? Man, if every believer in this place and every believer in this town and every believer in Western New York began to live their life based on every word and promise of God, this whole Western New York would be one for the kingdom of God. Amen? So, what's hindering your walk? What's hindering your walk of faith today? Paul says that we look unto Jesus, the author, perfecter, the originator of our faith, and the finisher and the perfecter, the maturer of our faith. We keep our eyes on Jesus. We let loose of the stuff that entangles us. And that word entangle speaks about superfluous flesh. Okay? This is superfluous flesh. Many of us have superfluous flesh. Many of us have baggage from the old life. Many of us have thoughts that wreak havoc in our minds on a daily basis. You look unto Jesus and keep your face set as a flint to the cross, and you will run the race and you will finish the course and you will win the victory. Amen? We keep our eyes on Jesus. He's the one that does the work. You don't. You just walk it out. The Bible speaks about working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Why does it say that? Because the cost is too much to stray from God. Do you understand? We work it out with fear and trembling. We push out of our way anything that would distort us following Jesus Christ with all that we have. If there's something in your life today that keeps you from looking to Jesus, following Jesus, and feeling his pleasure and his blessing upon your life, get rid of it. Amen? Kill it. In Jesus' name. Let's get a little Old Testament on this stuff. Amen? Put the sword to anything in your life that keeps you from the power and the presence of God on a daily basis. See, God is going to be moving in our midst. Amen? What he does when he moves stuff, he shakes you. Okay? He shakes you. He shakes everything to see what's in there. He'll pick you up and turn you over and just shake you. And all the stuff that comes out of our pockets that we've been holding on to in the flesh falls out on the floor. And he says, see, you got to get rid of that. And you're like, okay, God, please, thank you. He shakes you. The shaking of the Lord or the discipline of the Lord is an awesome, awesome thing. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel condemned. Feel blessed that our Father who loves us disciplines us. Amen? And he speaks to us. Whatever he speaks to your heart, walk in it. Whatever he speaks to you, walk in it. If we just did what Christ desires in the written word of God, our lives would be so much happier, so much more fulfilled, so much more satisfied. You know, we talk about fornication. We talk about adultery. Yeah, don't do that. The Bible says flee fornication. The Bible says that adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. What about greed? What about cheating? What about lying? What about all those things that we hide in our heart that nobody ever sees that keeps you from the presence and power of God? Maybe resentment or bitterness. We saw this beautiful video today. Wasn't it awesome? Sometimes we feel so chained. And then we come to the cross of Christ, through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, we confess our sins and we are cleansed from all unrighteousness. And once again, we feel his presence. David cried out, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't take the joy of my salvation from me. I want to stay close. I want to stay close. Amen? Faith in Christ and Christ alone. Rose shared this little acronym this morning while we met. Faith is forsaking all. I trust him. You might lose friends. You might lose money. You might lose a lot of stuff. But what you gain is unspeakable and full of glory. Let's determine to walk in faith, trusting God, making a statement about our lives, that we will walk this walk by faith and faith alone in what? Jesus Christ, his person and his work and his sacrifice. His death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension into glory, where he sat down at the right hand of God, glorified King of kings and Lord of lords. Their Father destined the Holy Spirit, and Christ sent the Holy Spirit, promise the Holy Spirit. I got to go because when the Holy Spirit comes, he will live with you and he will be in you. And he will tell everything about me. And this will go on for all eternity. Amen? Don't you want to know Christ today? Aren't you tired of the things that block Christ from being revealed in your heart and in your life? Are you willing to lay down the addictions? Are you willing to lay down the laziness and the undisciplined nature of our lives? Amen? The little things that spoil the vine, that keep us from walking in faith. God wants to change us. Extreme makeover and change of heart. A new heart and a new mind as we follow Christ in everything that we are. We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith yields fruit. Amen? If your life doesn't show the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of righteousness, you ain't walking in faith. Amen? Faith has a great desire to be together. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, they had everything in common. Everybody saw a need. They met it. They sold stuff. They met for the apostles' teaching. They broke bread. They had everything in common, and they met together, sharing life together. And the Bible says that God added many to the faith. The first day on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls came to know Christ. Faith. 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 Stop trusting yourself, because you'll lose the battle. Put your faith and trust in Christ today. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we love you today. We thank you so much for this gift of faith. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Our assurance rests in this wonderful relationship of love and grace and belonging and acceptance and access. That's where we stand. What is faith in Jesus Christ? It's realizing there's no other way, there's no other life, there's no other truth but Jesus. We want to know you, Jesus. And as we prepare for communion now, we pray, oh God, that we'll evaluate our heart. If there's anything that we need to confess to you, we'll confess it. And we'll turn from it. And we'll live our lives for the glory of God. We give you praise and adoration, Christ, for who you are. The wonder and amazement of a God that loves us and gave his life for us. Shed his blood to cleanse us from our sins. You are cleansed. You are washed. You are free. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen and amen.